Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There was once a time in our state, and really our country, when going to school could have meant a one-room schoolhouse and a dusty blackboard front and center. That's how my mother went to school for her first 8 grades, and that was only 90 or so years ago. So things have certainly changed in just a few short decades. These days, Michigan is leading the way in online education. Governor Snyder's behind it, and K-12 schools, as well as colleges and universities, are realizing the potential in online learning. But the recent education study conducted by the Center for Michigan found that residents are less enthusiastic about online learning. So let's take a closer look. How do kids learn through online courses? What are the pitfalls and what are the advantages? Jamie Fitzpatrick is the president and CEO of Michigan Virtual University, founded in the late 1990s by the state of Michigan. It's now one of the largest virtual schools in the country. Welcome, Jamie.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, as I thought about online education, Jamie, it struck me that some parents in the early 20th century might have been just as mystified at the prospect of large classrooms as some of us today might be wary at the prospects of our kids taking some or most all of their courses online. Does that seem like a fair observation?
Yeah, I think for many of us that went through a traditional school system, the thought of taking a class online is rather novel or unique or innovative. And for most people, they conjure up an image of turning on their computer and literally watching an instructor, kind of like the way maybe public television 30 mm-hmm. or 40 years ago,
yep.
televised lectures.
Sure.
And we will make use, as most online providers, we'll make use of video clips and audio files and simulations and whatnot. But much of our online courses are not happening in a real time. So if you and I were both taking AP Physics and mm-hmm. you attended a high school in the Upper Peninsula and I was here in southeastern Michigan, we might log on completely different times of the day. So sometimes it's just conjuring up what that online course really looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that leads me to wonder, because I'm sure in the more than a decade that the Michigan Virtual University has been around, classes and offerings and techniques have really evolved. So looking at what you have today, give us an idea, first of all, the kinds of courses that you offer and how they fit into a student's schedule. So if you got a kid up in the UP, it works, and if you're down here in southeast Michigan, it works.
Sure. Well, we have well over 150 online courses. We tend to serve two kinds of students that attend schools here in Michigan. One, that student that maybe struggled, is a second semester junior, flunked a course when they were a freshman or sophomore. They know they need that as a required course before they're going to get to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And we call those credit recovery courses. And those sometimes are math courses or a health course. And that really is giving young people a second chance to learn in a different venue. And then the other are courses that the student might not find available at their local high school. Last year, we served over 500 schools statewide, and many of those schools don't offer a very wide breadth of world language courses.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we offer Spanish, German, French, Latin, American Sign Language, Japanese, Chinese, and we're trying to develop an Arabic course. We have 18 AP advanced placement courses. When we started the virtual school back in 2000, the survey data that we had seen is about 45% of our high schools didn't offer a single AP course. So there's a huge equity element here to providing online courses because it's completely independent of a zip code.
The zip code, so the kids could be from anywhere and they're all practicing away.
Really yeah. take away that traditional dependency that we've had on time and place. When people think about school, they mm-hmm. think about a building, and when we think about school, we think about learning.
Good point. Good point. Now, what do you say to critics of online classes who say what kids are missing out on the classroom experience and the socializing of the classroom experience, that we could have a kid conceivably burrowed in his bedroom and never coming out because he's on his laptop all the time?
Yeah. The first thing that I would say is that well over 95% of the students that we serve are enrolled in a public school. And they're taking a single course from us. So we really play the role of supplementing a student's learning experience, whether it be that credit recovery experience mm-hmm. or taking a course that they just simply don't have access to locally. I think some of the concerns that parents and the general public have regarding online learning, many of them are valid. We are starting to see more and more students take all of their education experience online, and those are called cyber schools. We don't operate a cyber school here in Michigan, but Michigan is probably one of 35 states that does permit that to happen. And I think it takes a special student. I have 5 children. I don't know if any of them would be a candidate for a full-time online student, but I don't have an Olympic athlete at home which are the kinds of kids that would pursue that kind of. I don't have a person with at home with a learning disability. I don't have a student at home who has a health issue who maybe physically can't get to school. So I think you have to put those concerns in context.
Good point. Are you serving homeschooled youngsters a lot?
We do. It's a relatively small percentage, but we have provided homeschool support since the inception of the virtual school back in 2000.
Now, you were mentioning to me that you were very heartened with Governor Snyder's budget unveiling. What was said that spoke to you?
Well, in 2011, the governor unveiled his special message on education, and in that message, he suggested that students be given an opportunity to take online courses. And in his budget recommendations that he released to the legislature last Thursday, he called for a proposal that would allow every student in grades 5 through 12, with the consent of their parent, to request enrollment in up to 2 online courses during any academic term or semester. And then if a student is able to demonstrate success in online learning and they have the consent of their parent and the district officials believe it's in the best interest of the student, they could take more than 2 online courses in any given term. So this is really exciting. We've seen a couple of other states that have implemented similar legislation. And what we have found is that the parent and the student demand for looking at alternative ways of learning is really growing at a very substantial rate.
Now, you do say, Jamie, as we're talking to Jamie Fitzpatrick, who's president and CEO of Michigan Virtual University, you're saying not all online courses are the same. So how do parents know whether their child is getting a good online class?
Yeah. One of the things that the governor and the legislature have asked us to do is create a Center for Online Learning Research and Innovation, and we're just staffing that and got it up and running this past October. But one of the things that we're going to be looking at is we've already published some best practices, but we're going to continue to look at those best practices and try to help create a consumer awareness piece. Is the provider who's making the course available include an online teacher? There are online courses out there that don't include an educator. They're considered self-paced. And for certain things, it may not be an issue. If you wanted to, say you had an interest in learning about photography, you could probably go out and learn that because that's something that you have an interest in. If it's an online course that you want to take for credit as part of your graduation expectations, you likely are going to need a teacher. Is the content aligned to the state or national curriculum standards? So there are some basic kind of fundamental things. Is the provider accredited through a national or international accrediting body that we think are important, and that quality piece really is significant?
Now, I'd like you to address the skeptics, if you will, because we've spent a lot of time on stateside talking about that major education report from the Center for Michigan. You know, what does the public want in public education? And they found even though 44% of the people taking part in their statewide discussion said that online learning expansion is crucial or important, 29% deemed it irrelevant and not very important. So talk to those people. Why do you believe it's important and relevant?
Yeah. First of all, I am stunned. The great report that the center put out. I'm stunned that the number is 44%, that it was that high. Because I know that 10, 12, 13 years ago when we started the virtual school, I had principals and superintendents and curriculum directors looking at me like I was from another planet when we suggested students could learn online. So the fact that it's 44% in a relatively short period of time tells me that there really is a large number of Michigan residents who believe that this is part of Michigan's education future. Last year in the United States, 1 out of 5 college students took an online course, and that number continues to grow. If you look at how employees are trained in the world of work, it increasingly is dependent on the delivery of information and training and education in an online environment. So I often have people tell me that it's great that we give that student in rural Michigan a chance to take AP Physics or Mandarin Chinese. But really what you're doing at the end of the day is you're giving them an opportunity to learn how they're going to have to learn the rest of their life. And so that's what I would tell people that have concerns. Those are valid concerns, but the world has changed dramatically, and it's going to continue to change at a pretty rapid pace.
So where do you envision, Jamie, the future of education and online learning in Michigan? Let's take it out about 10 years. Where do you see it?
It's exciting because I think what we're really talking about is being able to personalize learning opportunities for every student. So just the growth of online learning for the sake of growing online, it doesn't excite me. It doesn't. I think what we're talking about is how do we best address the learning needs of individual students? Not all 8th graders or all 9th graders, but how do we provide a learning opportunity that is really tailored to meet the individual student's needs, that individual person? And for some kids, for many kids, online learning is going to be a key that will take them and open up a new future. To say that online learning is going to be equally beneficial for all students is analogous to saying that the face-to-face classroom is good for every student learner that we have in the state. And we know that as a system, we're graduating about 70% of our students. So the current system doesn't work for everyone. Online learning is not going to be the panacea for all learners, but for many, many kids, it's going to be a new path that's going to allow them to be successful.
Do you envision a day when that face-to-face classroom is as quaint as the one-room schoolroom that my mother went to is?
No, but what I do think is that the days of a student sitting in a classroom with 28 students and that classroom meets 1 hour a day for 5 days a week and the primary mode of instruction is a teacher standing in front of the classroom and lecturing, I think those days are numbered. I think we talk about blended learning, which is the class isn't completely online and it doesn't meet every day at the same time for the same period. It really is allowing students to meet in a group or with their instructor when they need support and when they can do things on their own and develop that independent learning skill, that they're doing that through the technologies that we have at our disposal. So it's going to look different. We'll still have schools that building those communication skills is still critical. When we ask our online teachers why they like teaching online, and these are all highly qualified Michigan educators that are scattered all over the state, probably the number one answer that we get, and I know this is completely anecdotal, is I like teaching online because I get to know my virtual students often better than the students who are in my physical classroom. So there's something about this online environment that allows for some sharing to take place that can happen in a traditional brick-and-mortar classroom. But we find that, especially for some of those introverted students who maybe need a few more minutes when the teacher says, who has an idea about X, that when that student comes up with that thought, the conversation has passed them by. Yeah. And in a virtual classroom, time becomes just not as critical of an element in the learning process.
We've been talking with Jamie Fitzpatrick, President, CEO of Michigan Virtual University. Thanks for sharing with us today on Stateside.
You're welcome.